This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Glory to God. Turn them, if you will, to the book of St. John, chapter 7. St. John, chapter 7. And we want to commence reading at verse 14. Recorded are these words. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Jesus is dealing here with the authority that he has and that he's functioning and operating out of, and is challenged by the establishment of the religious community. Those who have learned and those who have studied in the systematic studies of theology and those who have gone and received religious training, they are amazed and marvel at the knowledge, the revelation, and the insight that Jesus speaks so authoritatively concerning Scripture that they are now wondering, is this man really real, and what he's saying, is it of such a nature that one knows that it is of God or whether it is of himself? There is such a vast difference here in the teachings of Jesus as opposed to the teachings of the established religious community. And they think that they are the authority because they've got some paper on the wall with their name on, saying that they matriculated from this school or from that school, and because they have letters behind their name. What they don't understand is Jesus is the essence of the word itself. And you can never ever say something about something more than the something can say about itself. And one of the things that Jesus is dealing with here is the hypocrisy, those who are hypocritical, those who are judgmental, those who think they got it all together, those who think God don't talk to nobody but them, those who feel like they have the last word on matters. Jesus and his teaching has literally blown them out of the water. And so now they're challenging his authority and where it comes from. And we're going to walk through some of this whole seven chapter. We won't get a chance to do it in this 7 o'clock service only, but throughout our worship today. But I want you again to see now, Jesus is just dealing with his brothers who don't believe in him. If you'll go back to the first verse in the seventh chapter, it says, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, now this is not his disciples, these are his blood brothers, His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Now, I don't believe y'all got it, do you? His brothers are telling him, look, man, if you really are who you say you are now, why are you doing all this stuff in secret? Go where people can see you do this stuff. And at the Feast of the Tabernacles would be a wonderful way to display his marvelous gifts and ministry. And Jesus was trying to help his brothers, blood brothers, understand that he's on God's time scale. And you know, my brothers and sisters, you've got to be careful to be so connected with God that you understand when your season is, when your time is. God can call you as he did Jeremiah, but it may be a many days and nights before the reality of what he's called you to do comes to pass. Jesus knew who he was, he knew what he was, he knew when he was sent, he knew why he was sent. And so when he did do everything he did it in a decent and orderly fashion. And so his brethren did not understand that he was under a divine mandate to do what God said do when God said do it. And you've got to know that some people don't know that date. Some people don't know that time. So don't let folk push you before God is ready to use you. Because just because you have the calling and the anointing for that, you must also be in your season to operate in that. So Jesus is saying, no, this is not the time, brothers. This is not the time. I can't go out there right now. Look at what the Bible says. It says, verse 5, for neither did his brethren believe in him. Now, verse 6 says, then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is already. Already, always ready. Now, what did Jesus mean by that? And you're going to see, because he's going to make this clear a little later. But he's simply saying, you can go on up to the feast. Ain't nobody seeking to bother you. The reason why ain't nobody seeking to bother you, because you ain't bothering nobody. And the folk who are not, you know, disturbed by the truth that Jesus present, those persons will not, if you're not preaching truth, then you ain't got no reason, in Jesus' words, to be bothered by the people that you're going to bother. And so he knows that they are not in a position to stir up the folk that want to kill him, because they are not. He's going to explain. Let me show you what it says. The Bible says, verse 7, the world cannot hate you, but me it hated, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Now look at what he says in verse 8. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. Y'all going up to the feast. All y'all going to do is eat. When I come to the feast, I've got to straighten up some stuff that's out of order. I've got to move in a minute. I'm not just going to the feast to eat. My purpose and your purpose is different, so you can go on up, because they feeding right now. They fellowshipping right now. They're going through all of the worship and all of the whole gamut of what they do at this tabernacle of feast, but not my time and not my purpose. So you go on. Now look, Jesus still knew, though he had been authorized by God to move and to function according to his word and his will and his way, that there were still some things he couldn't do yet. And look at what the word goes on to say. It says, again, verse 9, when he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. Now the word tells us, but when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? See, they knew he should have been there. And they were looking for him because they knew he was going to be looking to stir up some stuff. How do you know that, Pastor? Because his teachings had already stirred up some stuff. And you know what? The old folk used to have a saying, if you throw a rock in the midst of the dogs, the only one that's going to bark is the one who gets hit. And you know, on Sunday mornings, I can look on your face when the word is moving and flowing and functioning. I mean, you can tell, you just get a look on your face like if I had a rock. But you don't get bothered by stuff if you're not guilty of the stuff. And it's like when it is on your page, reading all of your mail, it's like, Lord, look like the seconds seem like hours. Look like he stays on that longer than he should stay on that. Move on to preach on something else, preacher. Well, this was kind of the way it was even with the religious leaders as Jesus ministered and taught with such authority. The word says this. It says again, verse 12, and there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Truth always brings a division when spoken in a place where there are those who hear and those who don't want to hear. Those who accept and those who don't want to accept. Those who adhere to it and those who turn away from it. It causes and creates a division because those who are blessed by the word will gravitate even to the message and the messenger. Those who hate the messenger also most times hate the message and the messenger as well. And so you've got to understand that even among family and even among friends and even among associates, when the word comes, those who are in agreement with the word gravitates to the word and the righteousness of God. Those whom the word has struck and they don't want to say I'm wrong, don't want to say I got to get it together, don't want to say it's me, I need to get this word and straighten out my life, but rather want to reject it, those are the ones who will be driven from the word. And notice here again, if you begin to take sides with the word, you then lose their friendship, their fellowship, their association. Well, I got news for you. If the folk who hang around you don't want the word, then you ought to thank God for the word. Because the word is always able to be a discerner of even the thoughts and the intent. If you just keep some word on around you, and you're going to see who want to hear some word. Just put some word music on, and you're going to see who want to stay around. Just talk some word. And you're going to find out if they don't want the word, they don't want to hear the word. And then soon enough, they don't want those who associate with the word to be associated with them. Because there's too much conviction. There's too much consciousness that's alive in the word that always stirs up the hearer's heart, either to be drawn to it or driven away from it. And so here, the word and the reality is that there were people who were divided because some said he was a good man, not in and of himself, but because of the words he spoke and the deeds he did. Then there are others who said he's fooling y'all. Even though he has done good deeds and even though he has spoken good words, there's a demon in him. He's possessed. All of this Jesus is dealing with. Because when they can't say nothing about the word, they try to attack the person bringing the word. But that does not in any sense of the word make the word less valuable, less important, less powerful, or less impactful. To kill the messenger still doesn't kill the message. And so that's what they don't understand. The word says, verse 14, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Now he shows up and he's secretly moving to and through and about the crowd and he's seeing what's going on. And then at the right time, he doesn't go to the part where they're socializing and so forth. What does he do? He goes to the temple.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes to the church where the serious folk are. And he goes there to teach them something. Look at what the word says. It says, now about the midst of the feast, right in the middle of it, Jesus went up into the temple and did what? And taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Well, you remember now when he was 12 years old, he was in the temple. And there were doctors of the law. Letters, lawyers, scribes, those who were experts, those who were formally trained in the scriptures, those who were noted authorities, and Jesus amazed them at 12 years old. Now he was a child speaking authoritatively and revelation that God had given to him at that point in his life mystified those who had been trained in the schools. And let me say this hurriedly, that I believe preparation and training is necessary in the natural, in every arm of education, be it secular or sacred. But don't rest all of your training on what you get from books and instructors. Because all that they can do is polish whatever is there. If you ain't got it, they can't give it to you. But they can help polish and sharpen and shape up what is already there. In other words, if God didn't call you to preach before you went to school, when you get out of school, you'll just be a preacher with a degree who still can't preach. I know a whole lot of them. I'm trying to tell you, if you ain't got it before you go in, when you go in, they can't give it to you. It's like going to a shoe shop and they ain't got no shoes to shine. They'll look at your feet, but they really can't do much for you. Somebody don't hear me here. And I don't care what kind of shoe you got on, if he's good enough, he can bring some kind of illumination, some kind of shine to what you've got, but you gotta have something. And so these men who studied and chose, and there are a lot of preachers who choose the profession of preaching, not the vocation, the calling of preaching, but the profession. And that's why when they get enough of it, they can put it down, move on to something else. Well, that was good. I met some of the, you know, folk who used to preach, and they're in different businesses. Yeah, I used to be a preacher. I used to pastor church. I can understand you used to pastor church, but you used to be a preacher. See, because if you're a real preacher, you're going to die preaching. You can't preach when you want to, and then after you decide you got enough of this, you put it down and go on to something else. You can be a bivocational preacher. You can have another job and preach. And if time permits and God is good enough, you can put down the other job, but you can't ever put down preaching if you're a real preacher. Because even on your other job, you will still be. I wish I had somebody here. If it's in you, it's going to come out of you. And so the reality is, here are these learned men who have issue with Jesus because they are the ones who are studied and lettered, and yet they cannot bring illumination and understanding to the word that they've got letters behind their name stating and noting that they are authorities in the word. Look at what the word says. And verse 15, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? And Jesus answered him and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. My doctrine is not mine. I didn't make this stuff up. You see, and Jesus is making clear, as he has already made clear in the word in previous chapters, in the ninth chapter as one, making clear that I must do the works of him that sent me while it is day. I must do the works of him that sent me. Sent me. Sent me. And if he sent me, I'm saying what he sent me. I didn't make this stuff up. I didn't decide to get on a journey and go to a destination and say, well, I'll see what's going on when I get there and I'll make me up something to say. I had something to say when I left glory. I was equipped with the word, with the will, and with the way of God, so that when I got down here, the only thing I had to do was process myself through time to make sure that I showed up on time, so that in due time, I said, well, thus saith the Lord. And so you've got to understand, Jesus is the Word. And he knows the Word through and through, and he speaks authoritatively because he's speaking something he is, not something he has learned. There is a major difference between the revelation that God gives to information versus the inspiration that comes from just knowing information. You didn't get that. I'll say it another way. When you pick up the Word and you read the Word and you get a little understanding of the Word, you get inspired. You said, oh, thank you, Jesus. But then when you get in the presence of one who can bring rhema knowledge, revelational knowledge, and it takes it to deeper places you never knew existed in the same words you just got through studying, it makes you shout all on the inside of your spirit because you have connected with the Creator's intent for the Word. And you know it at a level so deep that you cannot not know it again. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In other words, you then, from the knowledge of revelational truth, become freed and liberated from the ignorance or not knowing or the thinking or the supposing of the truth to the knowledge of the truth. And you know it is what God meant and is clear, and it resonates all in your spirit. And there is a peace about knowing this is what God is saying. And so there is a truth then that is so clear to you that you cannot err in it. Amen. This is the Word of the Lord. Yes. And you know that. And so Jesus is telling them, listen, man, I didn't make up this stuff. Look at what he says in verse 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Now Jesus was saying, listen, if you really know him, if you really know the Word, you will know whether or not I'm in violation of the Word or whether I am in scriptural alignment with the Word. And see, that's why it's so important for the church to know the Word, because you can never really tell if folk are fooling you just by how they sound. Because folk can say some stuff that sounds good and sounds holy. I've gone through so many of the cliches and so many of the little sayings that we have had in the Baptist church and in the world of Christendom that do not line up with Scripture, but it sounded good. And we'd say it, everybody from the preacher on down to the pew, those sayings. And while they may sound good and have a sense of what's right, there is no biblical background for what they're saying. Amen. And some of you live by them. But if it's not in the Word and it is not verified and backed up by the Word, then God is not under warrant to back it up. Amen. And so when somebody stands up there and says something to you and it sounds good to you, it might tickle your ear. It might meet your natural need. It might be something you want to hear, and you get all excited about it. If there is no fact of it in the Word, and if it is not correctly presented so that it is in alignment with what God intended for it to say, then you are missing the boat along with the person who is guiding you on it. Amen. The Bible says, how can the blind lead the blind? He said, if the blind lead the blind, both of y'all gonna fall in the ditch. Now listen at this, because I need you to see this word. He says, verse 18, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true. And no unrighteousness is in him. Now let's look at this verse, if you don't mind. He that speaketh of himself speaketh of his own glory, or for his own glory, or for his own purpose, or for his own profit. Now understand this word, because when you understand that Jesus is making clear that persons who are wrapped up in themselves don't really care whether or not God gets the glory. And so oftentimes you've got to be careful not to let self get in front of God. Self gets in front of God when you have taken time out all week long to prepare a message. And then after preparing that message, God, in a movement of his own divine spirit, says, I want you to speak from another text. And self say, oh, wait a minute, God. I've been praying and preparing this text. I done wrote down all my little notes and no, Lord, no. The Spirit ain't got to come today. I'm going to preach this message here. Because I know this message right here. And I flew around and go preach something else that I ain't studied for and ain't prepared for. I might fail. I don't want to look like no fool. I don't want to be shamed. I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want nobody to look at me and all funny like I don't know what I'm talking about. I know, Lord, I'm going to stick with what I prepared this week. Now, the question then, who's going to get the glory out of a situation where self has got in front of God? You see, what you got to understand is it's not your word. Is his word. And it's not about what you say about his word that makes the difference. It's what he says through you about his word. And listen at this. When Jesus many times spoke the word, that was not a whole lot of commentary on the word. He just spoke the word. Matter of fact, when he went in the temple that day and he was reading about himself and he read in Isaiah where it talked about he would come in and the anointing was upon him and the power and so forth, the Bible says when he went and read at the place where it was opened up to Isaiah, and that's the whole scripture. It's actually Luke 4 and 18 and goes on through that 8:19. When the word was through, the Bible says he closed the book, gave it to the minister, and went and sat down. Now, do you understand that the word is so powerful, it doesn't need anybody else to put their 2 cents on it when the Spirit of the Lord has spoken, because he's the one who's going to give understanding to everyone who hears as they desire to hear and know what God has to say. I don't care how prepared you are to preach a word, if the Holy Ghost don't touch the ones you're preaching to, it won't do much. I mean, it's going to go forth and it's not going to return void, because there are those who are going to hear and receive the word, but there are those who can purposely turn a deaf ear to what God has said. Listen, it's not going to release them and they're not going to be responsible for the truth. No, they're going to still be as responsible for the truth after having heard the truth, whether they embraced it or not. They've still got to give account for it.
That's it.
So what you've got to understand is it's not about you. It's not about you. I mean, it's about God and his glory. And then for the good of those to whom God chooses to speak through and to. There may be somebody here today. There may be somebody listening by radio. Might be somebody listening in their car by CD or cassette tape. God's called, spoken a word to, and you're using the fact that you're not prepared as an excuse for doing what God has called you to a period of preparation for. And that begins with his word. That begins with his spirit. That begins with you meditating. That begins with you understanding, I've got a call on my life that God has ordained. You know what amazed me? How many of our past pastors and preachers with little education, some with so little education that they had to have other people read for them. But the people who read for them couldn't explain or understand like God had given him an anointing to preach that word. You see, you got to understand that when God calls you, he equips you.
All right now.
Yeah. Now, God wants you to continue to sharpen and continue to grow and continue to study and continue to do your part. But you need to know the heart of what you have comes from God. Yes.